This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's why you're the best there. I wouldn't have done it. I didn't have it up. But now I do. Caps Islanders, caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You're winning tickets because Darius reminded me to give them to you. And if he didn't, you wouldn't have won them. Think about that. Thank Darius.
Think about how close this all was. You not getting the tickets.
Life.
We were right there.
Happens in mysterious ways.
Yeah, I forgot too.
Everything happens for a reason. 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning a pair of tickets. Capitals, Friday, November 29th. New York Islanders. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/contests. When you think about the Islanders, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
It's good trolling by you. I, of course, hate Pat LaFontaine to this day. I forget what it's called, the Easter Massacre, Easter Sadness, whatever it was. I was there. All the overtimes, game seven, Caps blew 3-1 lead against the Islanders, the kind of the end of that dynasty. They beat the Caps in seven games, and it was the most painful loss of my life. It's when I stopped believing the good things can happen in sports.
That was the Easter Epic?
That's the one. Yeah.
I was not trolling. I didn't even think about that, but I should have, because you talk about it a lot.
I talk about it way too much.
Mine is Cousy's game winner in the first round of the playoffs against the Islanders, where he did the video game move where he like drags the puck up top of the crease. Remember that?
I do now, yeah.
He was young Cousy, and he like goes right across the front. It was just a sexy goal. He had a crazy goal in Russia the other day, where he basically lacrosse scored from like 6 feet in front of the cage and just skated it in and threw it past the goalie. Nuts. Good for him.
His skill was never the issue.
This is true.
And he still did the celebration. He still did the Cousy Eagle.
Give him the bird, yeah. Coos. All right, let's cover the Caps and the other teams in town right now, the NFL, the Commanders, on our Beltway Blitz. We start with Sammy Silber, who covers the Caps and has some info on what lies ahead without Ovechkin. So first, what is your take on Ovi? How long do you think he'll be out?
Yeah, it's a tough injury. It's one that you don't want to see, especially, you know, when he starts the season as hot as he has, you know, been. So right now, all we know is it's not season ending. We have that week to week timeline, nothing really new, maybe expecting more tomorrow. But right now I imagine it might be, you know, a month, maybe two. I'm not too sure. Just, you know, that's just my opinion. Don't take it as gospel, but, it's a tough injury to see, especially just, you know, on an awkward collision, just an unfortunate play. So looks like a lower leg injury that, you know, might hold him out for the next little bit.
Yeah. He's going to be out for at least some time. We know that for a fact, right? So he's on IR. It's, you know, week to week, whatever that means. How do they replace him?
You don't. I mean, it's, you know, you don't, there's no replacing him, you know, it's a collective effort now to try and fill that void, right? So it comes down to, you know, Dylan Strome staying hot and doing what he's doing, Connor McMichael keeping up that red hot start, you know, Tom Wilson stepping up, and, you know, kind of all four lines have to be humming just as they have been. You know, he accounted for a big part of the offense, but the thing about this year's team is that they're so much deeper, right? So, you know, an injury like this isn't going to be as big of a dagger for them as maybe it would have been last year, because you have the scoring depth and you have, you know, everybody producing. So it's a collective effort. He brings a lot, you know, not just on the ice, but off the ice too. He's a huge piece of that locker room. So it really is going to take every single one of them, especially that leadership group in there.
That's a great point. They are better equipped to move on without him, but that's not saying a lot because they're still in a bad spot. Just from a personnel standpoint, he's a top liner. They've called up Ivan Reshnichenko. Do you think they put Miro on the top line and just ask him to skate Novi's spot and not tinker with lines 2 and 4, which has been fantastic? Or do you think they affect all the other lines by jumbling things up?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I think you look at that second line of McMichael, Dubois, Wilson, and, you know, you look at the fourth, Duhaime, Dowd, Radish, and those are such good lines that have been rolling that you really don't want to, you know, mess with either of those units. But at the same time, you know, talking to Carberry this morning, because I asked him about this, I'm like, you know, does Miroshenchenko just fill in for Ovi? And he said, you know, no, we're being careful about that. His role is to fill a roster spot, right? It's not to replace Alex Ovechkin. So, you know, from the sound of Carberry today, things are going to change. Combinations are going to change. If I had to guess, I think you throw Mangiapane on that top line, and then you put Miroshenchenko on that third line. Or, you know, see if Lapierre gets a chance to come in at wing on that third line. But it's tough. But I think, you know, we see Strom and Protas stay together because they're a good pair. But you know, when you have an injury like that, things are going to have to change. You know, there's going to be chemistry that's rolling that you need to interrupt because that's a big, big void to fill, right? So we'll see change. I think it'll start with, you know, seeing how Mangiapane does on that top unit, but that's just my guess, and we'll go from there.
Sammy, thank you as always.
All right, thanks, guys.
Talk soon. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Okay, Benjamin Brown joins us, NFL Data Science Manager at The Score. Benjamin, my contention is the Buffalo Bills are the second-best team in the NFL right now. Where do you have them in the upper pantheon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's either 2 or 3. Obviously, really convincing win against Kansas City last week. You know, to me, I would probably still have Kansas City when it's all said and done, you know, as like the front runner in the entire NFL. And I very much think the Detroit Lions probably deserve that second place seeding right now, expectation basically for those two in the Super Bowl. But I think right now I have Buffalo third, but they're very, very clearly third, I would say.
Speaking of the Lions, what they're doing offensively just blows me away. But what can you say about how good, how efficient they are, how potent they are? Every couple of weeks, they hang 50 points on somebody. We haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's a lot of things really coming together well. Obviously, you can say what you will about Jared Goff, you know, especially against the blitz, especially against pressure. I do think, obviously, you know, Ben Johnson staying another season and really developing, you know, a unique type of chemistry with him at the quarterback position, Ben Johnson as offensive coordinator, and really, you know, kind of having continuity, you know, across the entire offensive line, wide receiver unit as well. Like, I think very much like they are a functioning unit entirely that has very few weaknesses. I think when you look around, you know, a lot of people have them as like the best offensive line in football. You know, Jared Goff probably isn't there as like a top three, top five quarterback, but I think with Ben Johnson in the fold, can kind of reach that sort of landmark. And then, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, you know, top five from a receiving standpoint, have a lot of other options as well of receivers that could beat you both short, deep, and over the middle. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, it's unique to the current build for NFL, how they've kind of kept things together for so long. And I really think they're reaping those rewards here in the 2024 season.
How are the Jets this bad?
A lot of, I would say, dysfunction across the board. You know, obviously, you know, firing the GM, Joe Douglas, you know, moving on from Robert Saleh, like there was a ton of dysfunction in the building. This is kind of what happens when, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers is in some ways running the show and getting more and more power. I think in some ways there's a ton of blame to be passed around. But overall, I think, you know, the right people weren't in charge, didn't have the correct people at, you know, the offensive defensive coordinator positions. And I think overall, that's so crucial to have. Never really got that with Aaron Rodgers kind of in the fold. And I think for that reason, are a team that is, you know, very strong defensively, but has really, you know, not a lot going for them, especially at the quarterback position, and have some real things to outline, especially towards the top, if they want to contend for one of these AFC playoff pitchers in a couple of years to come.
So a couple of days ago, Danny and I were talking about Rodgers, and he said he's going to leave, and I was like, no way, you're crazy. I don't see any path for that. He makes too much money. There's too much dead money. They're not going to do that. And now they fired Joe Douglas since, which I didn't see coming, and that's the momentum. Everyone seems to think maybe that Rodgers is playing elsewhere. Do you think that's the case, and how would that work financially?
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely dicey, I would say. There's a ton of dead money coming up here in 2025. You know, maybe there's a situation where, you know, he you know, like the Brock Osweiler sort of situation, the thing that was kind of kicked around with Deshaun Watson where he's moved, it is kind of more of this like one-year type situation where there will be a ton of dead money. But obviously a lot of void years towards the end of his contract as well. I think, you know, given the new regime and everything else, they are going to do a lot of pretty dramatic things to move in an opposite direction. And I think for that reason, you know, nothing's out of the question. Although it will be difficult, I would be surprised to see Aaron Rodgers starting for the Jets in 2025.
So two-parter on the rookie quarterbacks. Go through them and let me know what you think so far about these rookie QBs that were taken in the top 12. And then secondly, we started the show talking about Bo Nix closing the gap on Jaden Daniels. What are your thoughts on the rookie of the year race and just how definitively Daniel should be favored?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, you know, Bo Nix has definitely made some ground up, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, when you look at the situation, I would say the Commanders defensively have been a lot better than what I would have projected heading into the season. But in saying that, you know, the Broncos have one of the best units in football. I think they're second from an EPA standpoint right now. And I think, you know, for all the things that we've probably said as far as how good Cliff Kingsbury has been this season, you know, Sean Payton's still the guy that has done this year in and year out, has some sort of, you know, pedigree or buildup that seems to be, you know, distinguishable among even like the best of coaches. And I think for that reason, I think Jaden Daniels has done more to actually deserve offensive rookie year this season. I do think, you know, obviously with neither of them really potentially going to win their division, it's going to come down to some of those auxiliary stats. But I think overall, for what Jaden Daniels has provided, I very much think that he is still going to be that offensive rookie of the year. But, you know, Bo Nix has definitely closed the gap. But I do think, you know, overall, both those franchises have to be really intrigued with what they have. I think in a lot of ways, Drake May maybe hasn't had as much, you know, Gotti-type plays or anything, but I think has shown enough, especially against behind one of the worst offensive lines in football, that there are, you know, potentially really three intriguing young prospects in this quarterback class. And the jury's kind of still out on, you know, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy because of injury, and some of these other guys further on down the totem pole.
Benjamin, thank you as always, buddy.
Thanks. Have a great show.
Yeah, man. Talk soon. Hit that local 53 sounder. Our guy, you've already heard him if you're listening on 910 The Fan in Richmond. Michael Phillips joins us to break down the local 53. Miguel, the spread is enormous between Washington and Dallas. It's 10.5. Give me an argument as to why Dallas makes it closer, even wins.
Well, you'd be citing things the Commanders have done recently, not things the Cowboys have done recently, right? This offense has struggled the last couple of games. There's very much an open question, sorry, Dan Quinn, about how much Jaden Daniels is able to do or not do, right? I think if they lose this game, it's really hard for me to imagine a path where on Monday you open your show, Danny, by saying, wow, who knew Cooper Rush was that good? I guess he just, you know, sometimes they make plays too. I think it's far more likely if they lose this game, and I don't think they will, but if they lose this game, we're on Monday saying, man, they really messed some stuff up, and this offense isn't as good as we thought it was initially.
Yeah, to the point on the offense that you just made, that's where I'm at. This has to be a bounce-back, get-right game. Mike Zimmer's defense is not playing well, super banged up right now. I can excuse, I don't even really need to dive too much deeper into the last two games. You played two elite defenses, football happened. But if you don't go out and look good offensively against the Cowboys, there are bigger problems at play here.
Yeah, just let's not sprain our necks from nodding along while we're both correct here. But you're absolutely right. This is, you know, I'm excited for a refreshed dialogue, hopefully, about this team and what they can be. Because I think you've got a big enough sample size. If they win Sunday, you know, we're saying on Monday, this is a wild card team that's gotten right, that, you know, we see who they can be and who they've measured short against. And I think everybody's rational about it, which it's hard to be after a loss. I get that. It's a big Cliff Kingsbury game too, right? I mean, fair or unfair, the reputation follows him around that he fades late in seasons. I mean, this is a classic get-right game, and you've got 10 days of rest, and they played on Monday Night Football, and the roof fell down, and the organization's a disaster, and they don't have their starters. This is classic get-right game territory.
Michael, so as Daniels hasn't played as well of late, there's multiple reasons for that, probably, right? I'm sure good defense has something to do with it. Short rest has something to do with it. My point is, a factor is this nagging, bothersome rib thing. And Dan Quinn let everyone know that he's not hurt. I did this semantics thing in 2012 between hurt and cleared and injured and whatever. I'm not doing that again. My point is, it's probably a factor that's led to maybe some bad mechanics or some bad habits or favoring some things. That's all. I don't think it means he shouldn't be playing or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that even though he's telling me he's getting wrapped to stay warm, that's interesting. They're not wrapping his arm. They're not wrapping his head. They're wrapping a midsection where he got injured. But anyway, I digress. To me, it's bothering him. And I think that's pretty simple. What do you think?
Yeah, you and I are singing the same song here as well. It's very clear. He was so inaccurate on Thursday night, right? And I get that the defense was doing things, but it was just so uncharacteristic for him. They didn't throw the Hail Mary at the end of the half, right? There's just all these little data points. They weren't hitting the gas at the end of the game either. All these little data points that tell you, like, if everything's right, they do those things, and those things don't come up and aren't issues. So that's what I'm looking at. Just they're not behaving like they normally do. And who knows what it'll look like with 10 days rest. Hopefully it'll look a lot better and we can put this behind us. But, he's doing the rap. He's doing the things. Very clearly still bothering him, at least from my view, not on the bench, but up in the stands.
That's my guy, Michael Phillips, here on the Beltway Blitz. Michael, thank you, buddy. Great chatting as always, and we will catch up soon.
Take care, guys.
See you, buddy.
I'm in Philadelphia. I should have asked Michael about this. I got a text from him the other night. So we once together went out to dinner in Philadelphia to this Italian spot. This was many, many years ago when we were on the beat. And the local Washington operation was playing the Eagles the next day. And so there was this crazy Italian restaurant that was like in a house in a neighborhood. Literally.
Yeah.
Like you're driving in a neighborhood, you park in a driveway, and then you go in and it's super, I don't want to say fancy, but it was like date-like. It was just me and Phillips and, you know, white
intimate
tablecloth.
Intimate setting, yeah, with the candles.
So you're in like a living room with a fireplace. Like, I'm not exaggerating.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, where are we? Like, we just found a place that someone said was good online. We didn't know anything about it. So now we're in a house.
It's like a hole-in-the-wall Italian joint.
And this guy walks up to us, and he's super Italian and everything, and he's like asking what we want. And so I kind of did my bit where I'm like, what do you love? What don't you love? Give me some thoughts. And so when he came back, I told him I wanted lasagna. He would not let me order the lasagna.
I love that.
He would not.
I love that so much.
He's like, I think you want the bolognese. And I was like, respectfully, I appreciate that. And at first, it was like a nice little cute little fun thing. He just wouldn't let me order the lasagna.
That's so great.
And we got to a point like a minute into this exchange.
We're in an impasse now.
I'm like, when is the joke in, you know? So he's like, okay, anything for you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he brought me bolognese. So I never got my lasagna. I wasn't allowed to order lasagna. I don't know if he was like, tonight, I don't think you should do the lasagna. And I'm like, you know, whatever. And it wasn't like that. It was like you'll love the lasagna. You'll love it. But you'll like the bolognese more. And I was like, okay. But I don't really do bolognese. I like lasagna. So anyway, Phillips texted me the other night. And he goes, I'm in Philly. He goes, should we go to dinner? Maybe you can get your lasagna this time. And then I get a text from like three or four guys that are obviously sitting with him in the press box. Kime and a bunch of the guys that cover the team. They're like, hey, did you ever get your lasagna?
No.
Never once have I gotten my lasagna that I ordered.
What do you get first?
Yeah.
That lasagna or your pizzas?
Well, I actually have a pizza update. I'll give that pizza update next segment. I got a great update on
that. Do you really have an update?
I think you're going to be shocked by this. Also, what do the Commanders need to do better on offense? What do they have to do better offensively to fix this two-game issue that they're having? Next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can hit us up on social media at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny if you'd like to do that. So I did tease this. We got to do this. We got to pay this off really quickly, yep. And then we can get back to the show. I know this is going to shock people, but I actually do legitimately have an update on the pizzas. Darius. In the case of the missing pizzas, Darius is allergic. I did not get my pizzas, unfortunately.
Oh, I really thought this time
that was the update.
Was different.
Thus far.
No pies. Remember where they aren't.
We were waiting. We were hopeful. There's a time. I do think they're coming. I have not given up hope.
I don't, though.
Holiday season looms. Be the perfect time to get a couple of...
Haven't you moved since then?
No. Early on at the new house.
Can you imagine if they do show up? Like next week.
Yes,
like you're expecting. It's been years. And the guy just ripped cash out of your mailbox. Can you imagine if like he's like, sorry for the delay, but I didn't really care. Like, here you go.
Just hands me pizzas. Well, what's funny is, so the kids that came up to my front door and took the money and were supposed to give me the pizzas. I believe they're now graduating college.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've declared their majors. They've got internships.
Yeah. Mid high school at that point. So, I mean, they'll be homeowners next to me soon before they are going to give me my pizza.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Thank you, coach. If Washington's going to get their offense back on track, what do they have to fix? What needs to be better this week against the Cowboys?
They need something easy. Deep plays. Big shots. They need the thing Jonathan Gannon was talking about to that receiver at the airport. The shoo, shoo, shoo. You need to get people off you a little bit. You need to prove that you can't just press up, play man on big third downs and things like that. You need to burn somebody, whether it's deep, whether it's something over the middle for 20 yards that gets turned into 40, whether it's Eckler short out of the backfield like he did against Philadelphia, quite frankly, taking a little hitch pass and going 34 yards, dragging a defender with him. But they need a couple of big gains just to get people off you a little bit. Because what they major in, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's offenses, we've seen it. It's misdirection. It's everything from zone reads to RPOs to horizontal stuff to quick things. That's what they major. That's who they are. That's their DNA. It's kind of this modified new horizontal raid West Coast offense, whatever you want to call it. It's about short, quick passes and runs. Something just to get people off of that. You got to show that you can do it or willing to do it, et cetera. They haven't really the last couple weeks. It looks like they maybe don't think they could block it up. Maybe they don't trust their guys to get open deep. I don't know. But to me, I think that's something that's been missing here of late. I get it. You respect your opponent, and that's maybe what they would defend well. But now that you've got a Dallas coming up and a couple teams that aren't maybe quite as strong, a couple backbreaking chops might be the recipe.
So here's what I've got in order for the offense. They've got to get Jaden Daniels running the football again. Jaden Daniels against Pittsburgh ran for 5 yards. Jaden Daniels against the Eagles ran for 18 yards. If he is not a threat to run the football, it makes your running game slightly less effective. I think it makes it easier to defend the passing game of Washington, because if I'm not sucking defenders into the box, if I'm not playing as many stacked fronts and some of those bare fronts where you got guys on the edge that have to D him up to keep the ball on read option, if he's not pulling it as much as he was early in the year, everything gets a little bit watered down. Now, we go back to the health debate that we've been having for a few days. Is he 100%? Does he feel well enough to run the football like he did early in the year? I think he needs to scramble a couple of times in this game. He has not scrambled nearly as much. He's leading the NFL still in attempts. But, I mean, look at the first month of the season. Like, it's so funny. We're talking about, is he the same or what looks different? You and I yesterday were kind of over semantics debating if he's different or not. His rushing attempts in the first 5 games that they played, Danny, 16, 10, 12, 8, and 11. I'm going to say that again. 16, 10, 12, 8, and 11. Double digits 4 out of 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 5 games, 3, 8, 8, 3, and 7. So two things are happening, in my opinion. One is he's not running as much. Maybe that's the rib. Maybe that's getting hit a few times now and you know, being mental. The other thing is teams are keeping him in the pocket.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, people hear this and they take it as like disrespect and how dare you say he's not a pocket passer. Jaden Daniels can pass. He can throw the ball. We all know he can win from the pocket. But just like when you play Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or Josh Allen or Russell Wilson or Daniel Jones, for that matter, any quarterback who has the ability to make plays with their feet and has dual threat tendencies, when you know where they're going to be, you're better off. That means keeping him in the pocket.
What's the most backbreaking thing that he, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, name
it's
your
the
thing, can do?
Time to create and get out of the pocket.
It's that. So,
and he hasn't done it the last 2 games.
Yeah, so you're going to drink some poison, right? There's going to be some tough times. He'll pick you apart. But I will take my chance on that rather than the backbreaking play. Because that's what happens. If you go after him and miss, like if you're aggressive, if you blitz with five, or you do, again, I always point to the Cleveland game, because that to me was just the oh my God, jaw-dropping, there's no counter for this. They got it right. They dialed it up perfect. They had a blitzer, so you're sacrificing someone in coverage to then force everybody to be in man on a 4th and 2. He shook that dude like he was, you know, like a bull swatting a gnat to the side and just jogged for 40 yards. Like it was the most easy thing in the world. And that's the danger, right? Is if you pressure and don't get him, it's backbreaking.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, so I'm not doing that anymore. I will not take that chance. My best chance, general counting cards at the casino, so guarantee you win, even when it's the odds are in your favor. But I'll take my chances on that versus the other way.
I would say if we were just looking at the Eagles game involving Terry McLaurin, when he's catching the football and amassing yards, they're a lot better on offense.
Yeah.
Now that's chicken or the egg, and I kind of hate that answer for myself because it's one of those things where it's like saying when you're running the ball well, you win more often. It's like, yeah, well, because you're winning, you run the ball, right? If you run more plays and things are going well on offensively, there's more targets. There's more catches to be had for a guy like Terry. But specific just to the Philly game, uninvolved. They were disinterested in getting the ball, it seemed like. Like, I can't do no catches in the third quarter. Because I can eat, if I want to, you're catching a slip screen. You're catching a slant. And they do it all the time. They open games with 2-3 targets on a drive, and he's involved, gets them in the flow. They didn't do it against Philadelphia. And so, oh, well, you know, the rookie corner, Quinyon Mitchell, did an awesome job against him. Maybe. Except that Terry McLaurin makes more contested catches statistically this year than anybody in the National Football League. So he doesn't have to be open to get the football. Throw him the ball anyway. Tight windows, everything around the line of scrimmage, yeah. Slants and crossers and drags. I don't care if someone's on his back. Get him in the flow. They didn't do that. And I have no patience for that this late in the season,
yeah,
if we're being honest.
And, well, I have no patience for it when the offense isn't humming. If you score 40 points and he didn't have a catch, fine, I'll deal with it.
Well, obviously.
But yeah, so I wasn't trying to rip you there. I'm just simply saying, like,
no, I think that's a good point.
If it's working, then just keep doing it. If it's not, it was my biggest gripe with Scott Turner. It was my gripe for at times with Eric Bieniemy. If your offense ain't great, and it wasn't great for any of the last basically five seasons, or even longer, really since Jay, I'm going, I just can't stomach not having my best player constantly involved. If he's exhausted from all the targets and I still can't move the ball, okay, I don't have it. They're better than me. I just can't go down the way. It's how I'm wired.
I think this is a Joe Mixon game. A B-Rob game after what I saw Joe Mixon do to the Cowboys this past week. Brian Robinson's going to have a day because I think him and Joe Mixon have some similarities in how they run between the tackles. Did you see what Mixon did?
He was comfortable, wasn't he?
Now, his numbers ended up actually being like more pedestrian than I thought. I would have guessed he ran for like 130.
Well, because you had that one play called back that looked
that's
huge.
Yeah.
So you're like, you saw that, but they're like, no, you didn't.
That's a good point. He ended up 20 for 110, which, don't get me wrong, is awesome. That's 5.5 yards per carry. He ripped off a 44-yard touchdown.
Yeah, but if you were watching, it was more than that. Like, you could just tell.
Feasted, right? Yeah. But he's got some B-Rob. He's got 10 touchdowns, averages about 76 yards per game or so, and he went out and got 110. I think there's going to be lanes to be had. There are yards to be picked up on the ground. I also think one of the things we haven't talked a lot about, think about the experience in that building and the knowledge of all those players that Washington has. All the guys that have come over, from Dan Quinn to Joe Witt to the other guys on the staff that we don't talk about, to players like Dorrance Armstrong and Tyler Biadasz, leaders on both sides of the ball. I mean, they are, in a lot of ways, like Cowboys East, right? The old Commanders, we called them the Cowmanders at one point this offseason. All that knowledge helps you, as if you needed more help. When they're on a short week, you're on a long week, they're terrible, you're good, and you're a 10.5-point favorite. But I think that's something that should be addressed, too.
I think that's smart. I mean, the ultimate thing here is, if this offense looks like it did kind of before, again, we're talking about like the bottom fell out. It didn't. They just went to more pedestrian than we'd seen, this high-flying, unbelievable, you know, greatest show on turf type offense. If they're doing that this weekend against a beat up and frankly, you know, almost underwater Dallas team, it's going to feel really, really good. If there's any kind of struggle, though, you might feel some of that pucker in the fan base.
The Danny Ruye impression wheel is in front of me.
Oh.
It is a Wednesday. We will spin the wheel and talk to a couple of celebrities on the Danny Ruye impression wheel next on G&D. Remember, we're blitzing the East at 5 and in the 5 o'clock hour. Where is high school football headed? And what do we want it to be? We've got a conversation to have next hour on The Fan. We will blitz the East coming up at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, about 13 minutes from right now on Grant and Danny. Dallas Cowboys coming to town this weekend. Giants making a quarterback change. The Philadelphia Eagles now in the driver's seat in the division after beating Washington. There's a lot going on in the NFC East. By the way, the Eagles are at the Rams. Sean McVay needs to do his boys in D.C. a favor and find a way to upset Philadelphia this weekend.
Let's get that done, Shawnee Mac.
What's the line in that game? Can I guess? Because I have no idea. I've not seen it. I'm going to say... See, I think that game is going to be closer than people do. But I'm guessing the line won't reflect that. I'm thinking 4.5 points. Eagles -4.5.
Eagles 2.5-point road favorites.
2.5?
2.5.
That's nothing.
2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
So maybe I'm on to something.
I think you are.
I think the Rams might knock off Philly this weekend.
It'd be nice.
That would be huge for the local.
NFC loss, bring them back to the pack a little bit. Go ahead, Shawnee Mac. Go ahead.
I've got the impression wheel. Speaking of Sean McVay, let's tell everyone who's on the impression wheel. This is the Danny Ruye impression wheel.
So I just did some selections on there. Look, there's a bunch not on there. Some
I'll
are.
I'll read them to you right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Shannon Sharp.
Oh, death. Hold on, skip. Let me tell you, skip. I'm going to be on the repressing wheel now.
Dieter?
Well, of course I'm on the wheel. I'm on many wheels. Depends on what day it is.
Stone Cold?
I'm going to tell you something about the wheel. It's on my list, that Stone Cold's list. You better spend that damn thing.
Obama?
First of all, we got to be clear. The wheel of impressions is for amusement purposes only.
Josh Harris?
Wait, I just wanted to buy the impression wheel of beer.
John Walton?
yeah, show up, Kenny, the impression wheel. If there was a health Ovechkin wheel, I'd spin the hell out of that. I'm pretty depressed.
I think Walton's your one seed.
It's a good impression.
It's pretty good.
I wish John was, like, nationally famous so that,
he
like,
is.
I could do it all
he
the
calls
time.
Games nationally.
But, like, I wish everyone knew.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
you want him to be Doc Emmerich.
Yeah.
Gotcha. John Gruden.
Let me tell you something, man. It's a great impression wheel, all right? First of all, tell you something about that wheel. Probably runs a 4.2.
The only one here that makes me uncomfortable. Lou Holtz.
Come on. It's a long history. It's a long time ago.
When you take this wheel, going to spin around like this, and it's going to show up and play football.
Wild card. Give me a mystery one that's not on here.
Oh, yes. You're the guy that does the Stewie. Everybody does it. You're so original.
And did we say Sean McVay yet?
We didn't.
Oh, we obviously want to be outstanding in everything that we do. We want to turn that wheel, and when you're done turning it, set it upright, all right? That's something that we take great pride in.
Stephen A. Smith.
Let's be real here. You're just going through all the impressions now because you're killing time. Let's be realistic about it.
Patrick Mahomes.
Obviously, I just want to thank Darius, Coach T, and obviously Coach Reed and Trav. I don't know why I said Coach T. I don't know who that is.
Who is Coach T?
That's not a person. I was just talking about Trav and Coach Tom and Coach Reed and Ryan Clary. Also, just I'm sad he moved out to the Gary Sheffield Apartments.
Saquon Barkley.
I don't have Saquon Barkley.
Oh wait, Charles Barkley.
That would make no sense to do. I don't know what Saquon Barkley sound like. What does he say?
How many years have I worked with you?
We had our 10th.
Why would I have looked at Barkley?
It's
on
our 10th anniversary.
Saquon Barkley.
It's our 10th anniversary, but we've been this 11 years, but we've been doing it 11. But this is our 10th anniversary. Back to you, Ernie.
I'm a stupid person.
That's what I was going to say.
Barkley.
You dumb.
Saquon Barkley.
I don't know, Shaq.
Donald Trump.
Okay, so we're going to talk about it. It's so-called Grant Paulson, okay? Have we ever seen a birth certificate? We haven't seen one. We don't know.
All right, so I'm going to spin the wheel.
Okay, what are we talking
about? I believe the topic at hand, 2 minutes will be on the clock.
All right.
I believe I want your detailed breakdown on Commanders fans being extremely confident about a win over the Cowboys. Like, I personally...
Oh, yeah, you're overconfident.
Right now, I think they're going to cover 10. I don't know how I feel about 10.5, but like I might buy down to 9.5, and I might have them cover that number.
Okay.
I want your reaction to that as Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, first of all, we're talking about a Washington group that's dominant and a Dallas Cowboy group that flat out sucks. What? They come in here walking wounded, barely able to string a sentence together. Cooper Rush, more like Cooper sucks. What? Let me tell you something about Jerry Jones. He can't even open and close his damn roof right. He's coming to town, chewing on his glasses. Dak Prescott's butt fell off. You're going to walk in here with Rico Dowdell and a fat Ezekiel Elliott. Are you going to try to cover? Jaden Daniels has an entire canister of a branded beverage for you. It's called a can of whoop ass. When you walk into Northwest Field, east of the stadium, it's going to read a lot to not much. And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
Oh, the glass. Look at that.
That's the way the game is played.
That's how we play.
All right, I'll give you one more. I'll be a little quicker here.
All right, there we go. I'll be quicker about that.
I want a rebuttal. So this is like State of the Union style.
Oh, but like this is for the Dallas perspective?
Yeah, so okay. This is the rebuttal from the Dallas perspective on why that won't be the result. From Jerry Jones.
That's quite fitting, of course, that it landed on me. But I'm not dignifying your question with anything, right? You want to go find some oil rigs and dig down and find some glory down in that hole. We can discuss that, but I'm inclined to go to a different radio program. I don't like you, especially Ryan. That some bitch. I'm not down with him. And I think
what do you have against Clary?
This is the character. That's not me. You understand? This is
a
character.
Saying, Jerry, what do you have against Clary?
I don't like him. I don't like his tone. I don't like how comfortable he is with the guests.
Jerry Jones doesn't like Ryan Clary? What are the chances?
Well, you have me on. You better let me finish talking now.
Apologize.
Otherwise, I'll find someone else to ask the questions. Yeah. But Ryan, when he gets a guest on there, he's doing his own show. He wants to speak to him about what's going on. How about put him on hold so the professionals can speak with him?
That's Jerry. That's not me, buddy.
That's just Jerry.
I love you, pal.
But don't let that buffoon talk again either, Dana, whatever his name is. We're going to win. Dallas Cowboys are going to win by 30 this week.
That's the impression wheel, ladies wheel and impression. Gentlemen. The Danny Rullo impression wheel. Let's blitz the East. We'll talk about Jerry's Cowboys and our Commanders next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.